Good morning. All right, so we've talked to moms, we've talked to kids. Today we're going to talk to grandparents. Hi, grandparents. How many grandparents we have out there? Yeah. You know, as a parent, we look forward to the day when our children will go up and have their own children, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. I think a part of us is like ready for our kids to suffer the way we did, maybe. Maybe that's part of it. It could be that we look forward to having the benefits of little kids around without having all the responsibility, maybe. But whatever the case, I know that when it comes time for Cindy and I to become grandparents, that's going to be an awesome day. I remember when my niece was born, and that was just, I think her birthday was just yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? What? 2 days ago? And so we were looking at all the pictures. Cindy and I were just dating at the time, and I was able to go up with her and see this brand new little baby. It's the first time I held anything that small in my hands, and it was really awesome. But I also want to address the fact that I know that there are some here who don't have kids, and so grandparenting is not really in your future at all. And I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. Okay, I just want to say that on the front end here. God has not abandoned you. He does not abandon you. He does not look on you any differently because of the fact that you don't have children. But I also want you to know that there is still a legacy for you to leave, whether you have children or not. I mean, last week we were talking about kids, and the compassion table is right over here. We still have a number of children who are looking to be sponsored. That's the word I was looking for. And they're in need of someone to help them along. And you can be kind of a parent / grandparent to one of these kids who is in need. And you can make a difference in the lives of these children. And again, that's just one way. There are opportunities in your community. There are opportunities maybe even within your own family where you can have influence in the life of young people. But today I do want to talk, and I know when I say this, I'm not trying to be derogatory in any way, but most of our congregation fits into this category of grandparent. All right? So I'm not trying to be ugly or anything like that, but that's where most of us are right now. And I should say you, because it's not me yet. But those whose children have children of their own, you've entered that arena that we called grandparenting. So first of all, let me congratulate all of you who are grandparents, because that's awesome, right? And the second, congratulations are in order, because the Bible says that you have reached the crown stage of your life. What does that mean? It means that you have advanced to becoming kings and queens, that you have that status as a grandparent, according to the scriptures. As it has been aptly put, grandchildren are the reward for not killing yours. Right? Okay, so congrats to all of you who have reached that milestone. But as great as it is to be a grandparent, it is also equally challenging. Grandparenting today is something of a tricky business, but not impossible. The tools at our disposal today are even greater to be used to stay connected to the lives of those we love. My children are going through Little House on the Prairie books, and one of the things that was absolutely brought home to me as we were talking about, hey, what did you learn in school today? One of the things that we talked about was the fact that when Mary and Laura and Carrie and Ma and Pa got into that covered wagon and headed west, they were more than likely saying goodbye to Grandma and Grandpa for the very last time. And fortunately, we live in a culture today where travel is fairly easy, very expensive, but a little bit easier to get from. You know, if family lives a long way away, we have technology, we have things like that to help us stay closer connected, and we can stay more connected to those we love. But during the exile of Israel in Assyria and Babylon, the Lord spoke to the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37. We'll read a portion of chapter 37 of Ezekiel here in just a moment. But suffice to say that there is a promise to Israel found in this passage. And there's a portion of this passage where Ezekiel is speaking not just to children, not just to parents, but to grandparents as well. And I want to pull some things out of this passage that that where Jesus speaks to Israel and what it means for us today, okay? So let's read our scripture reading this morning, and then we'll get into things here. So please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. This is Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 24 to 28, and Ezekiel is speaking for God here. So let's read this together. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. I will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of what you say within it. Lord, it is my prayer today that as we look at what you have to say to us through this passage, Lord, that we would hear, that we would listen, and that we would obey. And Lord, I pray that in all of these things you would be honored and glorified. I pray that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but Lord, that you would take them and use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you intend to accomplish in each heart that hears these words today. Lord, we know that your Spirit is so powerful and can work in us. So I pray, Lord, that you would do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So you'll notice here in Ezekiel chapter 37 that he speaks of the children and the children's children, right? And in this passage, we see that these kids and grandkids will live in the land of promise forever. They will have the Prince of David among them forever, it says. Now, who is this Prince of David that Ezekiel is referring to? It's speaking of Jesus, and we'll look at that here in just a minute. But I want you to understand a couple of things about this passage. Number one, it has meaning for the Israelites to whom it was given. And we're going to look at what that meaning is and how that impacted them, how this message would have impacted them. And secondly, we want to look at how it relates to us today here in 21st century America as grandparents, but also as just people living in this land. All right, so let's look at what it meant to the Israelites. So as we look at this passage once again, we see, and I hope that you have your Bible turned there, but it says that my servant David will be king over them. All right, this is a passage speaking of the return of Israel to Jerusalem, to the nation of Israel, to the northern kingdom of Israel, to the southern kingdom of Judah. And there's an importance of David here. All right? David was described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. All right? So David, there are three men in the Old Testament that reflect Christ. All right? The first one is Adam. Jesus is said to be the second Adam, that as Adam was pure before God, so Jesus, when he was born and grew up and lived, he was pure before God as well. So there's a direct correlation between Adam and Jesus. The second one is Moses, where Moses was the intercessor for the people to God, so Jesus is our intercessor before the Lord, that when we go to God in prayer, Jesus is there interceding for us, okay? So Moses, Adam and Moses, and then the third one is David. And David is important because David was promised that he would have an heir on the throne of Israel forever. Now, I ask you today, here in 2022, who is the king of Israel? Come on, say it. Jesus is the king of Israel. Even though they do not recognize him as their king, he is still the king of Israel, right? When Jesus came, he came and the scriptures tell us that through his death and through his resurrection, he is the king, not just of Israel, but of everything. He is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And Jesus, if you look at Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, you see that he is a direct descendant of David and therefore has the right, humanly speaking, to sit on that throne. And so that's very important. That was very important to Israel. And so in this prophecy that Ezekiel gives to the nation, he says, on behalf of God, and this is God speaking, he says, "My servant David will be the king over them, and they will have one shepherd." Okay? So this is obviously, they're pointing towards King David, and David himself was considered to be the quintessential king of Israel, that he was the one who, under his reign, there was more area accumulated for Israel. There was more victories in Israel, and he was the one who pointed Israel to God through a number of songs and poems that he wrote, and we have many of them in the book of Psalms, to being wise in his dealings with military leaders, not so much with his own children, as if you've read 2 Samuel, you'll see that. But in that sense, David was a man who sought God in all that he in all that he did. And so as such, he is the king. And as I said earlier, David was promised an heir on the throne forever. And again, here in verse 24, God reiterates that and says, my servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd. Okay? So here's that promise being foretold. So there's an importance of David, and then there is the legacy of the covenant, right? He says, they will follow my laws, and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, a land where your ancestors lived. Okay, so there's this promise of this covenant promise that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Israel as a nation, with David, right? This covenant with David that says, David, you will have an heir on the throne forever. There will never be a time when there is not a king in Israel out of your line. Of course, Jesus is the fulfillment of that covenant. But here is God promising covenant again with Israel. You will live in the land. You will live in the land, and the land will be yours. This promise, if you look at it, this promise holds ultimate fulfillment in Christ, right? That David's the promise of David's throne being established. Jesus, we just mentioned that Jesus is the current king of Israel. He's the king of all the world. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And so this promise, it said, is passed on then from generation to generation. Look at the end of verse 25. Okay, the people who are alive at the time that God makes this statement, their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David, my servant, will be their prince forever. Now, it would seem from our perspective that there was a time when Israel was displaced from their land, right? A time when Israel was taken out of their land. But God's faithfulness, again, brought them back. They are once again a sovereign nation, and from all accounts, they will continue to be until Christ returns, until heaven and earth are wiped away and a new heaven and a new earth are established. So this promise is passed down from generation to generation. But what is that promise? Right? It's the Davidic covenant, yes. But there's another promise that God gives here. Look at this. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Friends, understand that the promise is God's presence. The promise to Israel is that God is here, God is with you, and that He loves you and He cares for you. And this is what the nation is hearing. He's saying God is with you, God sees you, God loves you. And this is the message that Israel would have received from this prophecy from Ezekiel. Okay, that's great, but what about us today? What about here in 21st century America? What does it mean for us? Well, again, we look again at that Davidic covenant, right? That Davidic covenant that said, David, you will always have a king on the throne forever. And we've talked about it three times already. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that covenant, and that Jesus is the one who is on the throne. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we talked about that. But we also want to talk about a legacy that we leave. Listen, whether you're a parent, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a young person, there is a legacy that you are building, even now. And young people, kids, I want you to understand this. You're not really going to understand this until you get to be a certain age. But time, the time that you have in your life, is not infinite. There will come a time on this earth when the body that your soul lives in, the one that you look in the mirror at every day, the one where your spirit speaks to you and you talk back, and I know you all do it because everybody does, and you have these conversations with God, with yourself, about decisions that you have to make, about all these things. There is a finite time that body lives on this earth. And when the time comes for that body to die, the time for legacy is over. I don't know if those of you who were with us last week, I talked about young Wayne Leonard Davis, right? And the legacy that he left and continues to leave to this day because of his faithfulness and because of his love for God. Every one of you young people, whether you're 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, or whether you're really much older than that, I'm not going to start naming numbers, okay? Because if I look at someone and I say a number, they're going to go, "Oh, you think I'm that old?" No, I'm not going to do that. I'll say 51, because that's me, or older. That's as far as I'll go. But regardless of your age, we need to think with the future in mind. Because there is a time coming when we will no longer be here. And I think for grandparents, this is something that we're acutely aware of, right? We're going to leave a legacy. We're going to leave a legacy to this world. Whether we have kids or not, there's going to be a legacy left. And what is that legacy going to be? What kind of legacy are you going to be leaving? But in the midst of that, there's this idea of God's presence, right? That God is with us. And I believe, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a parent, whether you're a young person, if we can learn how to live within the presence of God, day after day, moment by moment, that we will begin to leave a legacy, whether we have kids or not, that will be passed on from generation to generation to generation. See, it's not about whether you have children. It's not about whether you have grandkids. It's about what kind of legacy are you going to leave. And look, God is with you. God sees you. God loves you. God cares about you. And so, grandparents, because this message is for you, I want to give you some things on why grandparenting matters. Because grandparents are special. Grandparents can say things to their grandkids that their parents can't say to them. Or maybe won't say to them in some cases. As a grandparent, you have an awesome opportunity. Grandparents are important. I just want to say that right now. Now look, I want to share a quick story with you that really has nothing to do with what I'm about to say. But it drives home this point that grandparents are important. When I was in college, and I've shared this story before, but it bears repeating again. When I was in college, I was home for, I believe it was spring break, or it might have been just a weekend before spring break or after spring break. Something was going on. And I had to get back to Chicago from East Springfield, Pennsylvania. It's about an 8-hour drive. And I was home, and I was enjoying my weekend. Sunday morning, church services were going on, and I needed to be back to school before too late because I had to study for a test or something that was coming up. And so I was planning to leave right after church. So I didn't wear real fancy church clothes like I do today, right? I wore a pair of jeans, and I wore, I think, a sweatshirt or something like that. And I went to church, and then I came home, and I was getting my stuff out of my room and getting ready to pack. And as I was getting ready to leave, my grandmother cornered me. God bless her heart. And she was very concerned that I would wear jeans and a sweatshirt to church. Now, my grandmother and I had had this conversation probably close to 50, 60 times when I was in high school. When I would go to youth group, she would be like, "You're going into the church building. You shouldn't be wearing those kind of clothes." And I'm like, "I'm not going to youth group in a suit." But she told me, and she said, "Look, I'm concerned for you." And I told her, "Grandma, you don't have to be concerned for me. I'm okay. I've got to leave." And she kept going, and I finally said, "Grandma, you need to stop. I've got to leave. Goodbye." Got in the car, and I pulled out, and I went to school. Week and a half later, I got a call from my dad that my grandma had passed away. Now, friends, I want you to understand, she was the one grandparent who lived near me, who I had with me my whole life, who was there from my earliest recollections. My grandma and grandpa lived in the same town, and they were close by. They were always at church, and no matter what was going on, my grandma was there, and I would go and spend nights with them when my parents had things to do, all these different things. And so I was close to my grandma and grandpa. My grandpa had died when I was 12, and grandma was the last one. And after I got off the phone with my dad, I called Cindy and I said, "I got to go home," and she said, "Well, I'll go with you." And I said, "Great." I appreciate the company. But after that, I just sat there and I thought about that last conversation that I had. And I wished with all my heart that I could go back and say different things, like, Grandma, I appreciate you. Grandma, I appreciate your viewpoint on this. Grandma, I love you. Grandma, I do understand where you're coming from. I just don't see it the same way you do. But friends, your grandparents are important. And grandparents, you are important. There are obvious reasons, like if your grandparents weren't there, your parents wouldn't be there, thus you wouldn't be there. I mean, that's obvious, right? But they're also important because, as I said a little bit earlier, grandparents can do things that parents can't do. Like my grandmother could speak to me straight. Even though it made me angry, she was willing to say, this is how I feel. Grandparents can pass their wisdom on to grandchildren, wisdom that parents may have not yet attained because they refuse to listen to us. I'm just kidding. But sometimes the things that grandparents say are heard even more than the things that parents say. I remember one time I might have been 10 or 11, and I had been spending some time at Grandma and Grandpa's house, and Grandpa said something to me. I don't even remember what it was, but he said something to me about the Lord, and I thought it was absolutely, you know, the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And I went home and I told my dad, you know what Grandpa told me? He told me blah, blah, blah. And my dad said, I've been telling you that your whole life, kid. You know, sometimes kids will hear their grandparents, right? Here's another reason that why it matters. It's because grandparents can be Jesus to their grandkids. What do I mean by that? Right? We talk about Jesus with skin on. Remember that illustration I shared several weeks ago? The little girl is up in her bedroom and there's a storm and she's frightened and calls out for her dad, and her dad comes and says, honey, what's the matter? He says, I'm scared of the storm. And he says, honey, you don't need to be scared of the storm. Jesus is with you. And what did she say? She said, I know, Daddy, that Jesus is with me, but right now I need Jesus with skin on, right? And grandparents can be that to their grandchildren. Why? Why can they be that more, even more than parents maybe sometimes? It's because that grandparents tend to have more time to be spent with grandkids. And maybe we want to spend more time with our grandkids than we do with our own children. Which can, you know, cause tension with the children, but, you know, it's okay. But here's something that I've learned, and that quality comes out of quantity, right? If you want to have these good conversations with your kids or with your grandkids, you need to spend time with them. And not just, you know, when you're free. Even when it costs you. You know, when you stop and you say, you know what, I've got all this to do, but you need me now. I'm going to put this aside and I'm going to spend time with you. Right? When we give of ourselves, they respond. Sometimes I don't know how this works because I haven't gotten there yet, but from what I talk with people who are grandparents, it seems like there is that our grandchildren, it's not that we love them more. It seems that way, but we just love them in a different way. I don't know if it's because our grandchildren remind us of that sweet time from our own lives when our children were little. Maybe grandchildren help us to remember our own childhood. But I think ultimately what happens is when we have grandchildren is it gives us a chance, a second chance maybe, to correct some of the mistakes we made as parents. And hopefully to try to lovingly and gently coach our kids to do better than we did. But as I said earlier, and as this passage tells us, there is a legacy to leave. And grandparents leave a legacy. They leave a legacy that it's not the words that we say, right? Although the words that we say do carry weight, and they do remain, but it's not just the words that we say. It's not the inheritance that's found in our wills, right? All that stuff, you know, you could be Bezos or Musk or you know, even Trump, and say, you know, I'm going to leave all this money to my kids, and that's the legacy I'm going to leave. But listen, the best legacy you can leave is not money. It's not possessions. It's not even the words that you say. But the best legacy that we leave is the people that we are and how we live this life here and now. And yes, that does include the things that we say, and it does include the thing how we handle wealth or possessions. But ultimately, it is our view of God and how we relate to Him that is going to be the most impactful. So I want to challenge, actually all of us, not just grandparents, but I want to challenge grandparents especially in three areas, okay? Here we go. First of all, I want to challenge grandparents to follow God's laws. As we look at this passage back in Ezekiel that we read, it said in the second part of verse 24, they will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. As Ezekiel said, we are to be careful to follow God's laws and His decrees. This is the first step. We can't think that we'll be able to pass on to our grandkids, kids, or anyone else, anything that we have not first listened to, wrestled with, and openly obeyed in our lives. We can't be the kind of parents who say, do as I say, not as I do. Right? I remember the old, I don't know if it was a cartoon or maybe a commercial that was on when I was a kid with a parent, I think it was a dad, standing there with a cigarette in his hands, you know, with the smoke coming out the end, going, "Don't you dare smoke!" What? It's said that what parents allow in moderation, children will excuse in excess. This means that the little compromises that we give into as parents will be amplified in our kids, and then how much more then in our grandkids? Grandparents and parents, I want you to be careful to spend time in God's Word. I know I say this just about every week, right? And every week I say, be in God's Word. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Be careful not just to read it, but wrestle with it, right? Open it up. Read it once. Read it a second time. Read it a third time. And really struggle with what you're reading. Because, the words of God are there for us to benefit from and to change the way we think and the way we live. Not just to make us feel good. Because quite often there are verses in Scripture that don't make us feel good. Right? Paul said, in fact, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a fun verse. If the world hated you, remember it hated me first, Jesus said. That's a fun verse. We need to wrestle with God's Word. Study it. Meditate on it. Know it, just not intellectually, but practically. This will help us to be able to pass that on. Because when we follow God's laws and His decrees, we are then able to teach them to the next generation. And if we're living it out, they'll be more apt to believe that it actually is worth following. So, follow God's laws. Secondly, and this is whether you're a grandparent, especially for grandparents, but also for parents or anyone else for that matter. Second challenge, pass them on. Pass them on. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7, God is reiterating the law of Moses to the people before they go into Jericho, entering into the promised land. This is a generation that For the most part, none of them were at the Red Sea. For the most part, none of them were at the first time that Israel came to the Promised Land. The first time where they refused to go in. That whole generation in that 40 years of wandering in the desert died off. And now this new generation is here, and God is reiterating the law to them once again. And here is what he says. Listen, listen, listen. He says, this is Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Okay, that goes back to what we talked about in our first challenge, right? Now listen to this. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Once again, that's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. This command from God directly to the families, and I think specifically to fathers especially, is a proclamation that we are to speak of God's laws, decrees to our children all the time. Look at it again. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road. Generally, there are two places that you would be, at home or on the road. Talk about it when you're at home. Talk about it when you're away from home. Talk about it when you lie down at night, when you get up in the morning. And then, right, okay, so we're to talk about it when we get up in the morning. We're to talk about it while we're at home. If we leave home, we're to talk about it. When we go to bed, we're to talk about it. And maybe even if we're really close to God, we'll talk about it in our sleep. That was a joke. But the point is this, that as followers of God's laws, decrees, that we begin to talk about them so much that our kids begin to ask us questions. Dad, you talk about this God of yours. What's the deal? Or let's put it in today. You talk about this Jesus. Who is he? Why is he so important to you? And that's not just going to happen with our children, folks. That's going to happen at work. Am I right, Mike? That's going to happen when we go to family gatherings, or when we go to our club meetings, or when we're at the grocery store, when we're at the hardware store. No matter where we are, if we are talking, if we are talking about Jesus at home, on the road, in the morning, in the evening, people are going to know who this God is. And that's kind of the point. That's how we pass things on. So the question is, how are we passing it on? Look, And I want to speak directly to grandparents here again. It doesn't matter how far away your grandkids live, right? In today's day and age, you can have an impact on your grandkids. You can write letters. That's kind of an arcane way to do it. But you can write letters. I'm going to ask my kids, you like getting stuff in the mail? Yeah, it's fun to get a letter in the mail. Send your grandkids a postcard or a note. It doesn't have to be long. I'll tell you what. When letters can't come from grandma and grandpa, those letters are cherished in our home. You can write letters. You can send texts or emails if you're more tech savvy. If you're really tech savvy, you can even video chat with them so they can actually see your face. And maybe you don't want that. But, you could just talk to him face to face. It's not, it's not the days of Mary and Laura, like I said earlier. If you live here and your kids live somewhere else, you can even, I know this is wild and crazy, but you can even call them on the phone. Nobody calls on the phone anymore. But you can do that. But whatever it takes, pass it on. And that's the third challenge. Do whatever it takes. Will it mean that you have to learn a new technology? Learn it. Well, I'm not a technological person. Your grandkids are. Learn the technology. And look, if you're a grandma or a grandpa who knows how to video chat, you are a cool grandma or grandpa. I'm just throwing that out there. Will it mean that you have to figure out a new phone app or actually buy a smartphone? Maybe. But do it. Will it mean that you may have to spend some time and money sending letters or care packages to your grandkids? Do it. Listen, the benefits of something like that far outweigh the costs. And the great thing is that when you do these things, it opens up a door for a time when our grandkids might actually need us the most. When they are suffering or when they're depressed or they just don't know what to do, they'll call grandma and grandpa and ask their advice. And you will, and you'll be able to leave a legacy to them that's far more important than anything you can leave them. Money isn't more important than this. Heirlooms are not more important than this. A car is not more important than this. But a legacy of love and wisdom is far greater than anything else you can give. Period. Proverbs 13:22 says this: a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. Look, if you want to be a good grandparent, then leave an inheritance for your grandkids of a heart that loves God, a life that is committed to Jesus, and a legacy that points them to the Almighty Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all I got to say. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for who you are and for what you have done. Lord, I thank you for every grandparent in this room and every grandparent who may be watching online. I thank you so much for each of them. I thank you for my grandparents and the legacy that they left to me. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that you would help me to be that kind of grandparent when the day comes. Lord, I pray that you would be with the young people in this room today and that they would begin to think about the legacy that they want to leave for their kids, for their grandkids. Lord, may their heart be so tethered to you that there's nothing else that they want to talk about. Lord, I pray that Jesus would just infiltrate every part of our lives. I pray that he would become our all in all, that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we look at or read or listen to, Lord, it all goes back to you. It all goes back to Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would help us in the day-to-day to live out this legacy so that our kids and our grandkids would know who you are and how you have blessed our lives. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.